And what a privilege it is to study his word, to come before you this morning. So our word this morning is in 1 John 3 verse 19. 1 John 3 verse 19. This is the eternal, inerrant, infallible word of our Lord. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. This is the word of the Lord. To show your true colors means to show yourself for who you really are, or to show your true intentions in a given situation. But what are colors and how do you show them? In a naval war of the 18th century, your colors were your flags, specifically the naval jack, the naval flag of the country which your ship held allegiance to. This also signified to other vessels flying the same flag that you were an allied member of that country. So when going into battle, you were obliged to run up your colors, your naval flag, to show your true colors, your true identity that you belong to. However, some ships wanting to deceive the true flag flyers run a different flag to their own country to make the other ship think that they are an ally, gaining an advantage in battle by taking out the true flag flying ship. And once they were close, they were nice and close enough, within firing range, they'd finally show their true colors and open fire, catching its crew off guard. However, sailing into battle under false colors went against the Articles of War, as the Royal Navy's code of conduct for nearly 400 years. But unscrupulous captains and officers who cared more about beating the enemy than the rules of engagement would often go into action with false colors in order to gain the element of surprise. These unscrupulous ships are not truly flying their flags and are at best counterfeit by their deceitful intention to gain a victory for themselves at any cost. But those like the HMAS Sydney, and I'm sure that there's some of you here that know this, flew their true colors of the sovereignty whose allegiance the ship truly pledged. Unlike the German ship, known as the Cormoran, who was believed to be flying the Dutch flag at the time, used illegal ruses to deceive and lure Sydney into range and sank the Australian light cruiser HMAS Sydney during a mutually destructive battle off Western Australia on the 19th of November 1941. There was 318 of the 399 aboard the German ship who were rescued and placed in prisoner of war camps for the duration of World War II. But the HMAS Sydney had no survivors from the 645 that were aboard the cruiser at the time. Beloved, do we show our true colors when it counts? Or are we unscrupulous in our decisions and that take advantage of every situation? Do we show our true allegiance to the sovereignty of God that we have pledged? Or are our deceitful intentions luring us away from the God that we say we believe in? When we really live, I mean really live, in the love of God and know what it means to be a part of something greater than ourselves by belonging to the true identity of God in Christ, then we persuade our hearts to pursue what we've been longing for all of our lives. But before I go any further, let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, O Lord, for the privilege you have given me to study your word. But Father, I pray, Lord, that you use these lips of mine to speak your oracles of truth, of what they are, and not of who I am. So that, Father, your people, your children, your church, the identity that is true, O Lord, who pledge their allegiance to you, O Lord, and who are, O Lord, that who are by faith belonging to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may they only hear the words that come from you. And so change their lives so that they have this hope of their salvation in their lives as a reassurance of their hearts that is displayed before you. And so, Father, I plead, I pray, O Lord, that we understand this morning that you are love, God is love, and that this love of you is to be reciprocated through your church. And prove, O Lord, prove to be that perfect love that we may stand in your presence. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to carry on in the epistle of 1 John. So I've been there for a little while now. And Lord willing, discover what John was bringing to our attention. And again, in just one verse. So when we look at our text, I would like us to engage ourselves with the undertones of showing our true colors. And I have 3 points for us this morning, and I know there's no bulletin. So we've got 3 points this morning as we unpack what John is exhorting us to see and apply. And I know it's only one verse, but it may be hard to keep up as we maybe concentrate on one or two words at a time. But let's begin. So to the text. By this we know. By this is what John is actually speaking about in the previous verse. So actually we go back a verse to verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So the by this that John is referring to is the applied participation of God's love. By this love. Do you notice the word repeated in the two-part application here? The word in, to love indeed and in truth. So to truly love our brother is to love by the only means possible in the love that comes from God. In an outward appearance by giving to our brother who is in need. And to do it as the genuine response of the truth that was revealed to us by the Father through the Son. So really, it's two parts to the one process. And the process is to love. You see, we are loved by God to love. Not by our own terms or what we perceive or think we may know, but by the terms of God Himself, who displayed His love perfectly through His Son and continues to do so through His church. And this is one of the main points that in his epistle that John is trying to drive home for us. It's a reciprocating love that responds to the love. And so we love because he first loved us. As it says in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Not that we could measure his love in comparison, oh no, by no means, I'm sure. But by what God has initiated and also made available to us, we make a continued effort to reflect his glory that is so marvelous in scope, in size, in enormity and magnitude that makes him so far greater than we could ever hope or realize, that would change our way of thinking to be Christ-centered in all aspects of our lives, using his love as our instrument and tool to do so. And so this love that was initiated and shared to us by this love, is how we love indeed and in truth. And what have we now? Is what we come to know. So back to the text, verse 19. By this we shall know. By this love we have for one another, the love we have for one another in the church, we now know and come to realize it through the expression of the giving of those in need, and who do so with a genuine response to the truth revealed in Christ Jesus. We, therefore, experience and feel the love of God in the church. That's how we know, we shall know this love John is talking and telling us about. We experience with one another, his church. This is what defines us as followers of Christ, breaking the me chain of this world and bringing in the we. We as a church, we, beloved, put God's love on display. Remember, there's no I in team, but we operate as a body corporately and collectively love one another. And by this, picking up where we left off in the text, by this we shall know we are of the truth, absolutely certain and convinced that we are of the truth. The truth of all that is God in Jesus means we belong. We belong to something, but what is it? Which is our first point. We belong to a new identity. Have you ever felt that yearning desire to belong to something, but you didn't quite fit in? You know, like when you were a child growing up, you didn't quite live up to others' expectations to try and fit in. So you became someone you were not. And by becoming someone you're not, you weren't showing your true self. Though you knew that their intentions were not good, you still wanted to be a part of the group, because all you wanted, all you really wanted, was to feel like you belonged. You know that feeling of belonging? Belonging to something, to be a part of something bigger than yourself. But beloved, we are thankful that we are not like this, where sin is the MO, but rather we belong to a new identity. We belong to all that is true, and God desires this for us. I hope you heard that. He desires us to belong, which is really what all humans long for and are ultimately created for, to belong. A new identity that is in Christ Jesus. The same identity as your fellow believer sitting beside you. And this identity is desirable. And why is it desirable? Because it is true in its application of love that proceeds from the Father through the Son and delivered by each and every child of God that is identified by love. It's not like any other group in this world that you can belong to, but it is unique. It is unique in the sense that this group we will belong to is forever and eternal in scope. And what does that mean? The ones you love, you will see again, even after this world passes away. Because Jesus is preparing a place for you and I. We belong to the truth and the life that is in Jesus Christ. So John 14, verses 1 to 6. John 14, 1 to 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the reason we belong to this new life, the participants of the truth, which is known by the love that is witnessed in the church. Jesus is also the way that we live that points to the source of our identity. And if we have a new identity, then we live, not like the world does in word or talk, but we see the need of a brother and open our heart to give in deed and in truth. And that's who we belong to. A loving Father whose love is displayed in Jesus and continued through us. This means that there are only two groups of people in the world. There's only two. Those of a lie in Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's the proof. Those who are not of the truth exchanged the truth for a lie and worshipped themselves, showing that they could not love in deed and truth because they lusted after their own hearts. And the second type of people are us, beloved. Those who are the second group, the complete polar opposite of the lie. We are those of the truth. And how do we know? 1 John 2:21. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And so we simply see that those who are of the truth do not lie, because we love in truth. There is no lie a part of us. And if we love in truth experientially in the deed, then our conduct is recognizable of the truth, the character which is Jesus Christ. Whereas the conduct of the evil is also seen in their deed, like we have heard about Cain, who murdered his brother. So 1 John 3 verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So, beloved, we are recognizable by our conduct that either comes from a lie, the deed that neglected to love, or the conduct that comes from the truth, our new position we belong to, the character that is Jesus Christ. But I know what you're thinking. You say, while we are still yet to be perfected, if we sin, are we then disqualified? By no means. On the contrary, in 1 John 1 verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this is why we need Jesus more than we think we do. He must become real in your life now. Why? Because we are in need of him daily. There is not a single day that goes by that we should not be praying to him, seeking him and reforming our sanctified lives to be just like Christ. Otherwise, we're just kidding ourselves and making our Lord a liar. 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The difference between the world and us, beloved, is that we don't ignore our sin, but as repentant sinners, instead, we practice the truth by walking in the light. And if we are walking, we are placing one foot in front of the other. We are improving each day as we win each victory over our personal battles with sin. And so, we walk in the light, away from the darkness that is sin. And look what happens. Look what happens when we do. 1 John 1, verses 6 to 7. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you hear that? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that sin we had is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's a reciprocating love between those who love one another and the love of God in Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. Why? Because that love is genuine love from the truth, the identity and character we belong to, which is expressed in our conduct. But God's love also involves our heart. So for us to see that, we go back to the text. So 1 John 3:19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. And reassure our heart. Here's our second point. So point number two. Point number two is to persuade. We must seek to persuade our heart. Because it's here we begin to include our heart. We love by the conduct of belonging to the character of truth, to now seek to persuade our heart, to reassure, which is the only time in this word that is mentioned in the ESV, reassure, is to seek and exercise persuasion. I am persuaded, therefore I believe. I believe, therefore I obey. When we apply this to our heart, we do so on a continual basis. The reassurance, the reassuring, we continually do it. We seek to examine the intentions of the heart and exercise to persuade it daily in our unwavering belief in Christ to obey and love. But knowing John, he always has a contrast. The reason why we do not close our heart in giving to our brother in need is found in 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Is God's love able to abide in him? Well, not really, is it? And if God's love is unable to abide in us, then God's love is unable to be received or given, especially when it's a matter of the heart. We therefore deceive ourselves because our heart condemns us. And what happens if our heart condemns us? He shows us again in verse 20. So 1 John 3:20. For whenever our heart condemns us, remember, it's our heart. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. God knows us, beloved. He sees the intentions of the heart. That's why he is greater than our heart, because his love and compassion and mercy is far greater than the human heart that sees our need and shows us how vital it is to love. Do you know how vital it is? It's especially because he is the one who forgives us our sins originally. He first loved us. So God's love is crucial. It's so crucial because it is how he abides in us. And so we are desperate and needy children that we need his love continually. And we are the means by which God does so together as his church. And when we do get it right, John concludes in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So if we seek to persuade our heart to give out of good intentions, then we have confidence before God. We have confidence before Him. And here is our affirmation of our last two words in our verse. So 1 John 3:19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. We reassure our heart before Him, before God, which is our third point. So point three, living. We live in the presence of God, before Him, before God. We live coram Deo, to live in His presence, before Him. This means our entire lives are to be lived in the presence of God. Whether we're here at church, or in our workplace, or at school, or at home, or even in front of the TV, we are to remember, beloved, God knows everything that there is to know about you and me. And so, is your life a reflection of the love that comes from the truth that we belong, the conduct that walks in the light, the heart that is constantly persuaded, that presents our life to stand in the presence of God? For He is the God of love. He is the God of truth. He is the God of light, the God of all life as we know it. So, beloved, we belong to a new identity, a new identity that is in Christ, that keeps our conduct in truth. And if we are of the truth, then we seek to persuade the attentions of our heart, not once, not twice, continually, by our unwavering belief to obey God. And how do we obey God? By keeping His commandments. And how do we keep His commandments? I'm glad you asked. 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. This is who we are, beloved. We believe, therefore we love, because God is love. 1 John 4, verse 16 and 17. So we have come to know. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. How beautiful is our Lord. When we believe the love that we have just heard about so far, that God is love, and if this love is in us, then God is in us, a love perfected by no one else but our Lord. And look, another confirmation, that we may have confidence not only before the Lord now, but when Jesus Christ returns, we will be just like Him. As He says, as He is, so are we in the world. This is the longing we have, to become what we believe. And what we long to be is just like Jesus. To be just like Him. That's how we show our true color. That's what needs to shine. The light that came into this world is now the light we have become. Do you see? Do you see, beloved? God wants all of you. He wants every part of you. That's why our life is before Him. Our life is before the face of God in His presence. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. He wants you to immerse yourself. Immerse yourself in the true identity to belong, to be a part of the love of God. You know that love of God that was initiated by Him? So that your true light would shine through each other and so prove to be love perfected before the presence of the Lord, the Lord of love, Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would be real in our lives, Lord. Not only to be encapsulated by Your love, but Father, by knowing that we belong. And if we belong, O Lord, then this is the love that is reciprocated. That You first loved us. And we cannot begin to examine our lives in comparison of whether we deserve this love or not. Oh, no, Lord. Because You are greater than our heart. And without Your compassion and Your mercy, we would be unable to stand in Your presence. Father, let us see this love that You've given us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That though we are undeserving of it, O Lord, we are thankful. And though our hearts may trip us sometimes, O Lord, You are greater than our hearts. So that, Father, we continue to step in faith, to know that we are reassured in this love. We are reassured to know that our salvation is held firm in You, that You prepare a place for us, O Lord, that these hopes in these promises by You, through Your Son, will be delivered and are secure in our faith in You. So, Father, strengthen us so that we may walk in the light. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.